We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated in late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's late night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On KMOX.
Hey there. Welcome to the Hancock and Kelly's Not Here program. Michael Kelly enjoying his first of 2 weeks in the Emerald Isle of Ireland. And we've been hearing sporadically from him, seeing some pictures and different things. He's there with a whole slew of family members. And he will be back with us the next time we're on the air Monday night, which won't be for a while because Cardinal Baseball will be taking over these airwaves on Monday evenings for the next five Monday nights. And the Cardinals' schedule, jam-packed. They just took 3 out of 5 from the Chicago Cubs. That was a huge series win last night at Wrigley. And we had our own big day in St. Louis. Joining me in place of Michael Kelly is my old buddy Braxton Payne. He's with Show Me Victories here in St. Louis. We're not going to talk any politics tonight on this show, but we are going to talk about what was just a tremendous Enjoy Illinois 300 yesterday out at the Worldwide Technologies Raceway, and it was just a tremendous event and great for the city.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things that when these big sporting events come to St. Louis, St. Louis definitely rallies around, no matter if it's out in West County, across the river in Madison, or right here in downtown St. Louis. You saw it with the PGA, you see it with the U.S. Olympic trials, NCAA wrestling has been here. We definitely rally around it with, 60,000 plus people there just on Sunday, not to mention the events on Friday night at Ballpark Village and then Saturday at the raceway with the Truck Series race.
Yeah, and then they had the trials also on Saturday to determine pole position, and it was a good race. A lot of lead changes throughout, no major crashes, which is always a good thing. The track generally, I think, received good reviews from the racers. This is going to be an annual NASCAR event in St. Louis. We've not ever had one before, and it was a great race. Joey Logano pulled it out by just under a second over Kyle Busch, who defeated his brother, Kurt Busch, who finished in third place in the race, and they had the green flag until the last couple of laps around, and it was in those final two laps where Logano took the lead. A really exciting finish to that race, and as you say, Braxton, 60,000 people, and a lot of concern about parking. They'd never seen that kind of crowd at the Worldwide Technologies Raceway, but it all appeared to go off without a hitch.
Yeah, they seem to have fans from 49 states, which is amazing. So it's great to showcase St. Louis. I love that they did some stuff in Ballpark Village to really get people downtown as well. what it took to get here. You know, Dave Stewart personally took the representatives from NASCAR over there, gave them a tour. You know, the bells and whistles say, hey, we're investing in this. This is exactly what we're going to do. We want to have you here. I think that's really important to have those cheerleaders in St. Louis to actually bring these big events here, because we do have a lot to offer, and we do rally around things. And it's great to, you know, somebody that's from Alaska or Hawaii would probably never choose to vacation in St. Louis, but they got to see it.
You make a point there. But they did come from 49 states, and it was really something else. And St. Louis, for whatever its flaws may be, really is a great sporting venue. And you see all of these events that have come here, and we've had NCAA tournaments here. Certainly the PGA that was just here a couple of years ago, or I guess it was 3 years ago now, out at Belle Reve. That was a tremendous event. And again, the city and the fans got rave reviews.
Yeah, and I think they're coming back. You look at the golf, and we're getting the President's Cup in 2030, so 8 years from now. I know that seems like a far time away, but the fact that they're willing to come back to Belle Reve, I think, is really important. The NCAA, I think the wrestling championship was here for something
just
like
here.
Five straight years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, obviously they love it. We had the NCAA Final Four hockey. We invested $62 million in the Enterprise Center just 4 or 5 years ago. $62 million. And so with those upgrades come great events. And I think, you know, we hear a lot of talk about, you know, investments in stadiums, but I mean, it works. I mean, it brings people. I mean, we had hotel occupancy at 110%. I don't know exactly how that works out over the weekend, but
I mean, somebody's sleeping on the floor.
Yeah. So I mean, we have that, and you have even on the other side of the river, occupancy rates where Chairman Mark Kern in St. Clair County was talking about, it's the highest they've seen since, I mean, even pre-pandemic, he said, even farther back than that. So, I mean, that's always great to see. That brings in revenue, gives people jobs, but also, you know, it's a great, you see the skyline on television for the NASCAR. You know, it's important that we have a lot to offer. And I think living in St. Louis, we get down on ourselves a lot. I think we kind of get stuck in this turmoil, and it's always nice when somebody comes from out of town and is like, oh, this city's pretty cool.
Well, there are, you know, there's a lot to do. It's a great city to eat in. I'll tell you that. You know, I know my food. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. But, buddy, I know my food.
Yeah.
And this is a great city for dining out. It's no Italy, you know, where PJ was.
Hey, now.
Did you do a lot of good eating over there in Italy?
Lots of good eating. Lots of pizza, pasta, seafood, gelato, you name it.
Wow.
The basic core food groups, I think.
Best food item you consumed during your 2 weeks in Italy?
Florentine steak, which they cook raw, which is not something that would normally get anywhere. A raw steak, but that's just the Florentine way. It's a raw steak.
And you ate it?
A rare steak. Yeah. I wouldn't order a rare steak either, but that was phenomenal. I wanted to do as the locals did, so I ordered that rare Florentine steak, which they were famous for, and it was the best meal of the whole trip.
What do they do to it? Do they put anything on it, or
they do the normal seasoning?
Yeah,
but,
probably just like one, like sear it on both sides, and that's about it. For 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go. The Florentine steak, and it was that in Florence where you had the
that
Florentine?
Was in Florence. Yeah,
and there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that
makes
sense. It's like our toasted raviolis. It's, you know, same thing.
Oh yeah, very similar to the Florentine steak, our toasted ravioli. But the race was great. It was good for the city. I don't typically myself watch NASCAR.
Yeah.
But I made it a point to check that out, you know, and it was exciting, and the fans were into it, man, and those cars. I can see where you'd get such a charge out of being at an event like that. I mean, the speed and the sounds and the smells. I mean, it had to have been just a phenomenal experience.
Well, not to mention that they had a great lineup of music. You know, in the parking lot, they had Old Dominion, which is one of the biggest country artists right now. On after the race, they had Nelly on Saturday, I believe. And they had a great lineup. I mean, that takes a lot to get those types of talents to any type of event. And they were able to do that as well. So, you know, kudos to the promoters.
And they had our friend from The Voice. What was her name? Kennedy. Sang the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And with the symphony orchestra. In the background there. It was lovely. The weather was perfect. It was just a great day.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, first off, I regret not going. My father went. But, you know, one of the things that somebody mentioned to me is like, you know, I didn't get, you know, ads for this or anything like that, and they still sold out. I mean, obviously, on here on KMOX, they're promoting a lot of it.
Yeah.
But it's, like, interesting, like you said, you made a point to watch it, and I think, you know, I had a lot of friends were like, well, we didn't really know what was going on, but like everyone on Sunday was like, hey, are you going to watch the race? Are you going to go to Ballpark Village? Because they had a watch party for people that couldn't make it. So I think it's great for NASCAR to come into new markets as well and to be able to promote what they're doing.
Yeah, it really is good for NASCAR. Formula One has made such inroads in this country of late. And, you know, I think NASCAR, that was a good shot in the arm for them, and they'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, Formula One, I've become a huge fan because of the Drive to Survive series on Netflix. And it's increased viewership in the United States by 60%.
Oh, I can believe it.
And the revenue has increased by 22% just in 3 years, or 2 years, excuse me, since that Netflix show has come on. I mean, you know, America was an untapped market, and now we're having three or four races every year.
I knew when my buddy Michael Kelly got into it.
I told him to. I will take full credit for that.
He was a guy that said race car driving is not a real sport.
Yeah,
that was his position for many a year. But he no longer has that opinion.
Yes.
And he's now a big Formula One fan. And I kind of dug the whole NASCAR scene. So that was good. Good sports for St. Louis. Well, we got a lot coming up on the program tonight. Just around the corner, we're going to visit with our sports insider, John Hancock from Chicago. He had an experience at Wrigley Field over the weekend. We'll hear all about that. What's the big deal about this Top Gun movie? Braxton and I are going to break that down. I've got a story about the oldest officer who fought on D-Day for the United States in 1944. And then the 9 o'clock hour, our weekly visit with Sean Michael Lyle. So much fun coming your way. It's Hancock and Kelly on a Monday night on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
rooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
And welcome back to Hancock and Kelly. Regular listeners of this Monday evening show, all four of you, will know that this is the time that John Hancock joins us from Chicago, Illinois, his new hometown, our sports insider. And there's a lot to talk about today, John. And you spent some time at Wrigley Field over the weekend.
I did. How's it going tonight?
It's all good, brother.
Good.
Yeah, so I was had the misfortune of going to that Saturday day game at Wrigley.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I completely forgot about the absolute depravity of Cubs fans. This is a group of people. They care more about making snakes out of their beer cups. You know, you see that? They drink the beer. They stack the cups. They get like hundreds of them there.
Yeah, I saw it.
They bases loaded, 2-2 count. You have some jabroni standing up yelling, cups to the left for them to make a snake. I heard a guy yelling at Lou Piniella to pinch hit Derek Lee. These people can't even spell baseball. These Cubs fans are absolutely clueless. And it's honestly disgusting that they consider themselves baseball fans.
So, did you have any strong feelings on the subject?
No, it was terrible. You saw that blown call on Edmund, bases loaded. The ball was halfway to Milwaukee.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. That may be the worst ball and strike call, given the circumstances and the place in the game, that I have ever seen. And what did you think about Ollie Marmol coming out of the dugout? Wasn't that awesome?
That was awesome. So I didn't have a great view of the pitch, so I saw him. He was out there blowing a gasket, didn't get tossed, so I knew after that it must have been a terrible, terrible call.
Yeah, he did toss him. He tossed him. But it was a horrible call. So I don't – yeah, you were kind of hooked around the corner there, your seat.
No, yeah, I missed him getting tossed, so that's news to me.
Yeah, he got tossed. So what he did, he went out, he yelled, he got tossed. And then, you know, they're standing out near the batter's on-deck circle. And Marmol goes over to home plate. He shows the umpire, here's the strike zone. He puts his hands on both sides of the plate. And then he drew a line 8 inches inside in the dirt and said, that's where the ball was. And then he ejected the umpire. He totally tossed the umpire. It was classic. It was
I love to see that fire from the dugout.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got to tell you, it was an absolute nightmare hearing that miserable Go Cubs Go song leaving Wrigley. Like a jingle out of the 40s. I can't believe it hasn't been canceled yet, to be honest with you.
Were you sitting behind one of the poles that you can't see the entire game at? That's how old that place is?
I was actually in the rooftops, and they got that brand new scoreboard that was blocking half the outfield. I could see the plate, but not much else.
Wow. Well, you know, that next time you'll have to rectify that. You Ubered, I hope.
No, we take the train here in Chicago.
So you take
baby.
The train. Well done.
Look at that.
Nice.
Public transit. Did you guys go out in Wrigleyville at all? Is that still happening as it's always been?
So it's happening, but it's been overtaken by Braxton, what you'd call the suburban boomers. They love to pack that place. Really kind of kills the vibe. So we ended up heading south, going to some dive bars, less crowded scene.
I bet you the Malort was probably cheaper down there, too.
Absolutely.
Now, you were telling me that there was a bar in Chicago that was full of Blues fans during the playoffs?
Yeah, so shockingly, there's not a Cardinals bar here, and there wasn't a Blues bar, but there's some Ohio State bar, and they realized they had a money-making opportunity, pivoted to becoming a Blues bar, just completely throwing the Blue Jackets to the wind. You go in there, there's all these flags for Ohio State, the Bengals, the Reds, and then the Blues.
Well, that's a smart business opportunity. I've been up to I'm a Georgia football fan, as some of you know, and the Georgia football bar up there is top notch. I'll have to send that one to you if you want to watch some real football instead of Mizzou. I mean,
who wouldn't?
No, I got the Rutgers bar here. Heart of Big Ten country, the Big Ten's best team.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, now you've been following, and much more closely than I, but you've been following the NBA finals, which apparently now are all knotted up at one game apiece.
Yeah, all knotted up, and my prediction now, Celtics in seven. I feel pretty confident about that. Jason Tatum, the Celtics are going to live and die by him.
Yeah.
So if you look at the box score, you might think that he had a better game on game two where they lost because he put up 28 points versus 12 in game one. He went 6-for-9 from the three in game two, but he had a minus 36. That means when he was on the court, the Warriors had a lead of 36 points while he was out there. And he's at his best when he's attacking the rim and he's distributing and he's engaging on defense. So they're going to need him to be more physical, step up, get everyone else involved for them to have a chance to win this thing.
So you're a little bit, because aren't the Golden State Warriors the favorites by the Vegas books?
They are. They got worked in game one. I don't know if you saw that. They had a 12-point lead going into the fourth, and the game was over with 5 minutes to go. That's how quickly the Celtics came. Al Horford, his oldest or most games played before a finals appearance, I think, in the history of the league. He came out with a strong showing. The Warriors, Draymond Green, either of you watch the game last night?
I missed it.
I watched portions of it.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. NBA is fun to bet on. I mean, it's one of the best things, to bet on.
And Draymond was out there playing football. He got a technical, I want to say, 6 minutes in, and he kept going, and they wouldn't give him a second one. And they got to change that because that's how LeBron beat him in 2016. They double-teched Draymond, kicked him out through the series, let the Cavs come back. And ever since then, the refs have been gun-shy about giving them two techs to throw him out.
What's the problem with the guy? Is he a hothead or something?
He's a hothead. It's part of his game. He gets under your skin. I mean, he's the ultimate glue guy, maybe the best glue guy since Rasheed Wallace on the Pistons. He goes out there, gives it his all. He's not a great shooter. Charles Barkley actually had a great joke at him. They had him mic'd up during pregame, and he said, "Draymond, why are you shooting if you're not shooting in the game?"
Well, there you go. So you're picking the Celtics in seven. That'll be over. Won't be over next week, but it'll be over, what, middle of next week sometime?
Yeah, they got these games spaced out like crazy. It was game one was Thursday. Game two was yesterday. I don't think they play again until Wednesday.
Ah, so it'll be a little while yet. All right, anything of note in the NFL while we have you?
So Baker Mayfield's still looking for a team. not looking good for him. There's rumors he might be going to the Saints, but honestly, I'd take Jameis Winston over him.
Wow. Might the CFL be a possibility for Baker Mayfield?
I think he's got a few more bridges to burn until he's heading over to the CFL. But, I think 2026, he'll be lucky to get a CFL spot.
He might end up being the quarterback for our own St. Louis Battlehawks.
Well, I was just about to say, the XFL's coming back, and they just assigned, some head coaches for some franchises, looks like. Will you support the St. Louis Battlehawks if Baker comes to St. Louis?
I can't do that. I mean, a man's got to have a code. A man's got to have a principle. I can't support that fraud of a human being.
I just don't understand what makes him so bad. I mean, he seems like a nice enough guy.
I mean, the
ego on the guy.
Really? Yeah, I'm with him on this. Right. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
America's waking up.
Yeah, where did he go to college?
Oklahoma. Yeah. Started at
So I went to Tech. I went to Georgia. I went to the Georgia Oklahoma game at the Rose Bowl when we beat them, and I watched him cry, and I want to think that was one of the highlights of my sporting career as a fan.
He cried, Baker Mayfield.
Oh yeah,
he did. A little humanity.
Yeah, after a loss, not tears of victory.
No,
I understand. But that's, that's some humanity there. You got to respect that.
I mean, if you're going to cry, you better have just hoisted the trophy like Kevin Garnett.
Well, there it is, folks. John Hancock, our sports insider. He joins us as he does every Monday that we're on the air here on the Voice of St. Louis. Hey, John, before you go, have you seen the new Top Gun movie yet?
I have not. I barely seen the original.
Any desire to see the new Top Gun movie?
Not particularly, but it's getting great reviews, so who knows?
Well, we're going to break down that movie. Braxton Payne is with me here on the Voice of St. Louis. We'll see you right around the corner after this on KMOX. Thank you, John.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Hey there, John Hancock alongside Braxton Payne, sitting in for the vacationing again, Michael Kelly. And, if you are regular listeners of me, you know what a student of pop culture I am. And so there's this movie out that everybody's talking about. It's got Tom Cruise in it, 50 years after he made the first one or whatever. And he's still playing the same guy and he still looks the same.
Scientology for you.
Yeah, I don't get it. His original love interest was Kelly McGillis. She's she's no longer the love interest in this movie. And But Tom Cruise has moved on, and it's Top Gun 2, I guess, what's it called?
Maverick.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's still flying the whatever planes out there, and everybody's talking about it. I don't know. What's the big deal, Brax?
Well, I think, so one of the things that I think is remarkable, we haven't had a real movie like this since COVID started. So since 2019, it's been the talk of everywhere. I mean, every radio station, television station, entertainment, Twitter, Facebook.
We're talking about it. And I don't even know anything about it.
Everyone's talking about it. I mean, it's already amassed $291.6 million in just North America alone. That, you know, broke another record of the War of the Worlds, which I've never heard of. You know, had $234.3 million total. And that was, you know, throughout their entire run in theaters. So, I mean, I just think that they've put, that, you know, they started filming this, I think, in 2017, 2018. So it's been forever. You know, it's postponed because of COVID.
Right.
So there's been a lot of talk about it when it first started to film. But, I mean, they've spent $1 million on marketing. But I think it's just kind of run its course. I mean, Top Gun was one of the most popular movies. 1996 is when it came out.
86.
So before I was born.
I was graduating from college when Tom Cruise was in there. Now, wait a minute. How old is Tom Cruise? Let's do a little.
Yeah,
let's go to the research vault.
He has to be close to 60.
You would think. Now, so do not these pilots actually age out in like real life? You can't be flying planes when you're 60 years old.
Tom Cruise is 59.
59. All right. Thanks. Surely there aren't any 59-year-old fighter pilots in the United States military.
I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought that they did, though, too, is they made the
unrealistic. That's what I'm calling it.
Well, they made the actual people like Miles Teller and all them that were in the planes actually film themselves. So they actually had to go in these fighter jets and they had to turn on the cameras for themselves and all this. They actually were like actually in the planes. Obviously, they weren't flying them themselves.
Yeah.
But I will say that Miles Teller has blown up on social media. I think he's on my wife's social media. He has a wife or a girlfriend that has posted just pictures of him. And I think it's just become this whole counterculture or subculture of this movie that all the girls are just loving on Miles Teller like they did in Tom Cruise in 1986. So,
well, that's fascinating. Is this thing getting in decent reviews or...
So, yeah, I haven't heard. I've heard one person say that it wasn't great. I think Kevin Wheeler actually is seeing it tonight, so I'll be interested to hear his review on the show tomorrow. But I think, I mean, my coworker said it was great. He goes, you need to go see it. I want to see it. I want to see it in IMAX. We were actually supposed to see it on Sunday, and I said, well, I told my buddy, I said, we should just shave mustaches in like the rest of the movie and go in character because I feel like that would be fun.
I've got a friend that's a pilot. He said that the maneuvers in this thing are completely unrealistic. The airplanes don't
do it. It is Hollywood.
Well, that's right. And so here you got this AARP member flying a plane that doesn't do the things that it purports to do. The whole premise of the thing, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, but like
I don't get it.
But I almost feel like if I don't see it, I'm left out. Like left out of the conversation. You know, like Avatar
we're talking about it now.
Yeah, Avatar was one of those movies for me. Like I think that came out in 2008. All my friends were seeing it. I was like, no. I'm not a big movie person.
Yeah.
Like I'll watch a movie, you know, here and there, but I'm not a big movie person. And when Avatar came out, I was like, oh, I got to see it. Saw it in 3D, loved it, and never watched it again because I was like, you can't ruin it when you see it in 3D.
You know, once you've seen the greatest 3D movie ever made, though, as I have.
Cars.
It makes it a lot more difficult to go and try and replicate that experience. No, I'm talking about the Three Stooges. And when Mo puts those fingers in your eye, man, it's incredible. I mean, it's just incredible. And Curly doing the whoop, whoop, whoop right at you. And, I saw that in the theater when I was in high school, and I thought this might be the greatest motion picture experience of my life.
Well, I don't even know how to follow that.
Talking about the popcorn. So, you go to the movie and you get the bucket of popcorn there. And then.
Which is almost a necessary part of going to see a movie.
If you're going to go to sit through something and watch a 60-year-old fly a plane, you better get some popcorn. So you get one of those buckets, and they got the buckets on the wall there. And you got the little bucket, and you say, nobody gets the little bucket. And then they got the kind of medium-sized bucket, which
is not medium. Let's be honest. It's like it's extra large.
Yeah.
Extra large.
If you're there with Georgianne, you're probably going to need to go to the final bucket, the monster bucket.
The one that's free refills that nobody refills.
Yeah. And then you take this perfectly good popcorn, and you stick it under this pump of yellow goo, which is not butter, I have come to understand. Mm. It's a butter-like substance.
I can't believe it's not butter.
And pump this crap all over your popcorn, and I can't believe this is good for you.
And the, one of the things, too, that they have now is, like, the seasoning packets. So you can have, like, you know, it's just, like, the salt, but then you can have, like, the caramel seasoning, or, like, there's one that's ranch-flavored, I saw. There's one that's, like, barbecue-flavored. So it's not just, you know, the traditional butter popcorn. Now it's those things.
So you do those things in lieu of the yellow goo, or you do
you can do both. I think you can just like, I mean, I think it's, you know, because now you can put your own butter on it at most movie theaters. That's the ones I go to.
Yeah, the pump.
You got the pump, but it's a little button now. It's not even a pump. It's just like, and then it automatically.
You've got a button now.
Yeah, and then you just kind of go.
Fascinating.
And I think one of the things too, by the way, there's a milk duds shortage in America.
What?
Yes. It's one of the many things that the supply chain has got. But what is your favorite, movie theater, you know, chocolate snack? I guess a sweet snack versus the salty popcorn.
You know, I like those little what do you call them? With the
snow caps?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly the. They got the little white.
Yeah, the little white things are chocolate. Yeah, they have a little bit of crunch on them.
Yes.
Those are amazing. I would agree with that. That's one of my top favorites.
Yeah.
I love the Hershey's cookies and cream too.
Yeah,
it's my
bad.
Favorite.
Now what's in a milk dud? Because it's been like that's chewy, right? The milk dud.
A little bit. Yeah. Is there caramel in it? No, not really.
It's some kind of mysterious.
Is it caramel or caramel? That's the real question.
Goo. It's brown goo in the milk dud.
Yeah.
And so you put the yellow goo on your popcorn, you get the brown goo in your chocolate. I got to tell you, you're probably making an investment in your restroom experience there.
Hopefully the movie's not more than 2.5 hours.
Might plug you up if you think about it.
But. Well, that's another thing. I'm tired of movies being over like 2 hours. I mean, like these 3-hour-plus movies, it's just too long. It's too much. An hour and a half is a good movie.
And if you get one of those, you know, soda things.
The fountain Coca-Cola. I mean, you can't really. Or the Slurpees, the slushy.
Ooh.
Oh, those are, you know, you can't beat the Icy's.
So if you're getting a 40-ounce Slurpee and you got a tub of butter goo with
popcorn.
Sounds
like diabetes.
Yeah, and there's no way you're going to make it through a 3-hour movie without having to, you know, miss a part of it.
So when you go see a movie, I know you went to see one recently with your wife.
Yeah.
Do you do the traditional movie theater where it has the traditional seats, or do you do the what I consider the new age ones with the little bit that has a little bit of a recliner in them or not?
Oh, yeah. We had these double wides, man.
Oh, yeah. The little couches.
Yeah.
Little,
I mean, it's
love seats.
It's like a, I mean, for me, it's not for two. But, you know, it's a nice big old, I wish they had those on airplanes. But the problem with those things, when you get to be my age, is that it's very hard to get through a movie without snoring. and so we saw, what the heck did that? It was just a month ago.
Sandra Bullock was in the
movie.
Yeah, we talked to friend that's the movie critic? Ryan.
Yeah.
I think it's his first name.
Yeah,
we'll
I know.
Go with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I have to see.
What the heck was the name of that?
I have to see the movies in like those types of recliners, but you're right. So I have to see the movies in the middle of the day. So my wife always wants to go to the movies.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Hey there, John Hancock alongside Braxton Payne sitting in for the vacationing again, Michael Kelly. And, you know, if you are regular listeners of me, you know what a student of pop culture I am. So there's this movie out that everybody's talking about. It's got Tom Cruise in it 50 years after he made the first one or whatever. And he's still playing the same guy and he still looks the same.
Scientology for you.
Yeah, I don't get it. His original love interest was Kelly McGillis. She's she's no longer the love interest in this movie. But Tom Cruise has moved on, and it's Top Gun 2, I guess, what's it called?
Maverick.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's still flying the whatever planes out there, and everybody's talking about it, and I don't know. What's the big deal, Brax?
Well, I think, so one of the things that I think is remarkable, we haven't had a real movie like this since COVID started. So since 2019, it's been the talk of everywhere. I mean, every radio station, television station, entertainment, Twitter, Facebook.
We're talking about it. And I don't even know anything about it.
Everyone's talking about it. I mean, it's already amassed $291.6 million in just North America alone. That, you know, broke another record of the War of the Worlds, which I've never heard of. Had $234.3 million total. And that was, you know, throughout their entire run in theaters. So, I mean, I just think that they've put... They started filming this, I think, in 2017, 2018. So it's been forever. You know, it's postponed because of COVID.
Right.
So there's been a lot of talk about it when it first started to film. But, I mean, they've spent $1 million on marketing. But I think it's just kind of run its course. I mean, Top Gun was one of the most popular movies. 1996 is when it came out.
86.
So before I was born.
I was graduating from college when Tom Cruise was in there. Now, wait a minute. How old is Tom Cruise? Let's do a little.
Yeah,
let's go to the research vault.
He has to be close to 60.
Around 60. Now, so do not these pilots actually age out in like real life? You can't be flying planes when you're 60 years old.
Tom Cruise is 59.
59. All right. Surely there aren't any 59-year-old fighter pilots in the United States military.
I mean, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought that they did, though, too, is they made the
unrealistic.
Actual...
Unrealistic. That's what I'm calling it.
Well, they made the actual people like Miles Teller and all them that were in the planes actually film themselves. So they actually had to go in these fighter jets, and they had to turn the cameras for themselves and all this. They actually were, like, actually in the planes. Obviously, they weren't flying them themselves.
Yeah.
But I will say that Miles Teller has blown up on social media. I think he's on my wife's social media. He has a wife or a girlfriend that has posted just pictures of him. And I think it's just become this whole counterculture or subculture of this movie that all the girls are just loving on Miles Teller like they did in Tom Cruise in 1986. So,
well, that's fascinating. Is this thing getting in decent reviews or...
So, yeah, I haven't heard. I've heard one person say that it wasn't great. I think Kevin Wheeler actually has seen it tonight, so I'll be interested to hear his review on the show tomorrow. But I think, I mean, my coworker said it was great. He goes, you need to go see it. I want to see it. I want to see it in IMAX. We were actually supposed to see it on Sunday, and I said, well, I told my buddy, I said, we should just shave mustaches in like the rest of the movie and go in character because I feel like that would be fun.
I've got a friend that's a pilot. He said that the maneuvers in this thing are completely unrealistic. The airplanes don't.
It is Hollywood.
Well, that's right. And so here you got this AARP member flying a plane that doesn't do the things that it, you know, it purports to do. The whole premise of the thing, it just, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, but like
I don't get it.
But I almost feel like if I don't see it, I'm left out. Like it was kind of like, you know,
left
I
out
loved
of what?
It, like left out of the conversation. You know, like Avatar
we're talking about it now.
Yeah, Avatar was one of those movies for me. Like, I think that came out in 2008. All my friends were seeing it. I was like, no. I wasn't like I'm not a big movie person. Yeah. Like, I'll watch a movie, you know, here and there, but I'm not a big movie person. And when Avatar came out, I was like, oh, I got to see it. Saw it in 3D, loved it. Never watched it again because I was like, you can't ruin it when you see it in 3D.
You know, once you've seen the greatest 3D movie ever made, though, as I have.
Cars.
It makes it a lot more difficult to go and try and replicate that experience. No, I'm talking about the Three Stooges. And when Mo puts those fingers in your eye, man, it's incredible. I mean, it's just incredible. And Curly doing the whoop, whoop, whoop right at you. And, I saw that in the theater when I was in high school, and I thought this might be the greatest motion picture experience of my life.
Well, I don't even know how to follow that.
We were talking about the popcorn. So, you know, you go to the movie and you get the bucket of popcorn there. And then.
Which is almost a necessary part of going to see a movie. Yeah, I mean,
if you're
going
to go to sit through something and watch a 60-year-old fly a plane, you better get some popcorn. So you get one of those buckets, and they got the buckets on the wall there. And you got the little bucket, and you say, nobody gets the little bucket. And then they got the kind of medium-sized bucket, which
is not medium. Let's be honest. It's like extra large.
Yeah.
I mean, extra large.
If you're there with Georgianne, you're probably going to need to go to the final bucket, the monster bucket.
The one that's free refills that nobody refills.
Yeah. And then you take this perfectly good popcorn, and you stick it under this pump of yellow goo, which is not butter, I have come to understand. Mm. It's a butter-like substance.
I can't believe it's not butter.
And pump this crap all over your popcorn, and I can't believe this is good for you.
And one of the things too that they have now is like the seasoning packets. So you can have you know, it's just like the salt, but then you can have like the caramel seasoning, or like there's one that's ranch flavored. I saw there's one that's like barbecue flavored. So it's not just, you know, the traditional butter popcorn. Now it's those things.
So you do those things in lieu of the yellow goo, or you do
I think you can do both. I think you can just like, I mean, I think it's, you know, because now you can put your own butter on it at most movie theaters. That's the ones I go to.
Yeah, the pump.
You got the pump. But it's a little button now. It's not even a pump. It's just like, and then it automatically.
You've got a button now.
Yeah, and then you just kind of go.
Fascinating.
And I think one of the things too, by the way, there's a Milk Duds shortage in America.
What?
Yes. It's one of the many things that the supply chain has got. But what is your favorite, movie theater, you know, chocolate snack? I guess a sweet snack versus the salty popcorn.
You know, I like those little what do you call them? With the
snow caps?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly the. They got the little white.
The little white things are chocolate. Yeah, they have a little bit of crunch on them.
Yes.
Those are amazing. I would agree with that. That's one of my top favorites.
Yeah.
I love the Hershey's cookies and cream too. It's
not
my
bad.
Favorite.
Now what's in a Milk Dud? Because it's been like that's chewy, right? The Milk Dud.
A little bit. Yeah. Is there caramel in it? No, not really.
It's some kind of mysterious.
Is it caramel or caramel? That's the real question.
Goo. It's brown goo in the Milk Dud.
Yeah.
And so you put the yellow goo on your popcorn, you get the brown goo in your chocolate. I got to tell you, You're probably making an investment in your restroom experience there.
After the movie. Hopefully the movie's not more than 2.5 hours.
Might plug you up if you think about it.
But well, that's another thing. I'm tired of movies being over like 2 hours. I mean, like these 3 hour plus movies, it's just too long. It's too much. An hour and a half is a good movie.
You get one of those, you know, soda things.
The fountain Coca-Cola. I mean, yeah. you can't really. Or the Slurpees, the slushy.
Ooh.
Oh, those are, you know, you can't beat the ices. So
if you're getting a 40-ounce Slurpee and you got a tub of butter goo,
it sounds
popcorn,
like diabetes.
Yeah, and there's no way you're going to make it through a three-hour movie without having to, you know, miss a part of
it. So when you go see a movie, I know you went to see one recently with your wife.
Yeah.
Do you do the traditional movie theater where it has the traditional seats, or do you do the what I consider the new age ones with the little bit that has a little bit of a recliner in them or not?
Oh, yeah. We had these double wides, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the little couches.
Yeah,
little,
I mean, it's love seats. For me, it's not for two. But it's a nice big old. I wish they had those on airplanes. But the problem with those things, when you get to be my age, is that it's very hard to get through a movie without snoring. and so we saw, what the heck did that? It was just a month ago.
Sandra Bullock was in the movie.
Yeah,
we talked to friend that's the movie critic?
Ryan. Yeah.
I think it's his first name.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I have to see.
What the heck was the name of that?
I have to see the movies in like those types of recliners, but you're right. So I have to see the movies in the middle of the day. So my wife always wants to go to the movies. Like, hey, let's go to a movie after dinner, like either after dinner, which is like the 9 o'clock movie.
Kiss of death for
or
me.
Let's do like the 7 o'clock movie and do an early happy hour dinner. Well, if it's a happy hour dinner, then there's 3 or 4 glasses of wine and then it's nap time. Yeah,
you're
toast. It's totally done.
Yeah, you can't do it. Did we find out the name of that Sandra Bullock movie? Because she was running from somebody out in the
It was like
woods.
Water something, I think we talked about.
It was water over the edge or...
It was with the ambulance.
The ambulance.
Was that the one
it
you
was
saw?
The ambulance. Was it the ambulance?
Or just...
No.
Yeah, well...
I think we thought about going to see the ambulance.
Researcher over here.
Yeah, well, the research department is very busy here at the Voice of St. Louis this evening because, you know, basically Braxton and I have no idea what we're talking about. That's all about to change, though.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Today, the 6th of June, 2022, it was 78 years ago, where 160,000 troops, allied troops... stormed the beaches at Normandy and began what became the beginning of the end of the Adolf Hitler reign of terror. And among the soldiers that day was the oldest American soldier to storm the beach. I'm going to tell you all about him. You might be surprised who it was. And that's next on Camo X.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
That's lovely, PJ. That's very nice. Braxton Payne is alongside. I'm John Hancock. We found out the name of the movie we were talking about was The Lost City. With Sandra
almost
Bullock.
Forgot it again.
So today is the 78th anniversary of the D-Day invasion on the beaches of Utah and Normandy. And France and the United States and their allies sent 160,000 troops, many of them to their death, thousands of them to their death that day, storming onto the beaches and amphibious landing, the likes of which, the audacity of it, was absolutely unreal. And it turned out to be the turning point of World War II. And one of the commanders of one of the boats that day was... 56 years old. He was the oldest soldier to land on the beaches that day, June 6, 1944. He was, by that point, he had the rank of Brigadier General. He had retired from the Army after World War I, having achieved the rank of Colonel. He was highly decorated in World War I and went on to some political service and some other service in the military. He was one of the founders of what today we know as the USO, that takes care of our servicemen and women in so many ways. The big USO that we have out at Lambert Airport, you're probably familiar with. Well, on this day, he's commanding a boat, and he gets off of the boat on the beach. They're under heavy fire, and all he has with him is his cane and a pistol. That's all he has as he gets off the boat, and he's commanding the men. He's leading them. And all of these troops had assignments that were pre-designed, and they were going to the area they were supposed to seize, the high ground they were supposed to take. And they were going along, and this fellow with his cane was waving his cane in the air and directing his troops. He soon realized that the path that they were to have taken that day wasn't the best route for them. Once he got on the land, he could see that. And so, taking the bull by the horns, he redirects his men in a completely different area, and they successfully seized the ground they had. The folks that served with him said he was incredibly calm in battle. He was such an inspiration, being in his 50s, having fought and seen lots of heavy war fighting in World War I. And he came back and volunteered. He was in business, and he went to a reunion of sorts, a kind of retraining of sorts in 1940, and decided, and this was before Pearl Harbor, before we got in World War II, but he decided that he was going to reenlist then in 1940 at the age of 52. And they weren't going to, his commanding officer, the Major General, was not going to allow him to serve on the D-Day invasion. And he obviously didn't walk well. He had a cane. But this gentleman sent a letter saying that his men that he had been commanding now for years trusted him, relied on him, that he would bring a sense of calm to them if he were allowed to lead them. And the Major General relented, and he allowed this man to go. And he did brilliant, heavily decorated after the D-Day invasion. And a really remarkable story of someone that, well, it's a name we're all going to recognize. Theodore Roosevelt, Jr.
Wow.
Brigadier General Theodore Roosevelt Jr. that day. And he went on and died shortly after the war, before he even came home of a heart attack when they were right at the end of the war. But he knew that the United States had prevailed, and what valiant service he gave to his country. And we remember heroes like Theodore Roosevelt Jr. on this D-Day 2022.
Yeah, I think it's something that, like, you know, these types of stories, you know, get passed down from generation to generation. And sometimes, you know, they can get, you know, in movies or things like that. But I mean, growing up, you know, in the time of 9/11, I'm hearing a lot of, like, people that I know that, you know, volunteered for service, you know, right after 9/11, served in Afghanistan and then later Iraq. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I think a lot of times it's distant to a lot of us that haven't served. It's very personal to a lot of people that have served. But it's something that, you know, these stories should continue to be passed down and make sure that, you know, nothing in this country is taken, you know, for granted. And our freedom is definitely not free.
You know, and we're so divided as a people now. And it was just 20 years ago. I remember after 9/11. There was very little division in the country.
Most people supported George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah. His popularity went through the roof there for a while. And then, but I remember driving down neighborhood streets, and every home had a flag up, it seemed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was so recently in our past. And then here we are today where it's people don't even talk to one another.
Yeah, I mean, do you think, though, too, I mean, so 9/11, obviously we had television, we had cable news, you know, we had the 24-hour news networks.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to see what was going on. We were able to see those families with the pictures outside of Ground Zero saying, hey, have you seen this person?
Yeah.
Which was something very emotional for weeks after 9/11. I mean, something that's very vivid in my memory. Everyone remembers where they were.
Yeah.
Do you think that now we've become so desensitized to war and to seeing, you know, even like we see these things that happen in Ukraine or, you know, Syria when they gas children, yeah. You know, it's in the news for a couple of weeks and we just don't see that anymore. And we just come so desensitized because we see it all the time.
Well, I mean, I think that's the case with a lot of things. We've spent a lot of time talking gun violence, and
right.
There's a desensitization, I'm afraid, that's taking place there. Violence in our streets. You know, three people get shot in St. Louis on a Friday night, and there's
it's the top hit on the news for half a day.
Yeah, and it'll happen again, and yeah. You know, and so it's just so there is that. I do think that something as traumatic as 9/11 would It could, anyway, produce the kind of unity again that we saw then. I mean, God forbid we don't want to live through something like that again. But and even, you know, a decade before that event, we had the liberation of Kuwait, which was also televised.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time is Live from Baghdad. It was an HBO movie, and it went through the CNN correspondents that were there. And it's just a, you know, it's not a, you know, it's not a documentary, but it was just them talking about, or it's one of the best movies. It's on actually YouTube now.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you can watch it. And I'll never forget watching that movie for the first time. I was probably 14, 15. And I watched that movie, but, like, you know, obviously they used live footage of Kuwait and in those hospitals. You know, that were, you know, they were trying to, you know, prop them up and say nothing was happening here. And it was, you know, pretty dramatic and going through that. And, you know, even like then, it's like these CNN reporters. Now, CNN is a dirty word to a lot of people. You know, Fox News is a dirty word to a lot of people. But those were real journalists that were in hiding in bathtubs from the Iraqi army trying to just report what was going on when the U.S. bombed Baghdad.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, liberating Kuwait, which that took place before we went into Iraq. But in liberating Kuwait, the Iraqis had these what they called their Republican Guards,
yes,
their elite troops.
Saw that.
And the U.S. military just rolled them over in like a day and a half. It was incredible. We took no casualties in that thing. And I think Russia expected the same kind of thing in Ukraine. That didn't work out. And I'm afraid that conflict's going to be going on for a long time. Well, we wanted to remember D-Day, and wanted to tell that story. When we come back, it's going to be our weekly visit with Shawn Michael Lyle. That's next on KMOX.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
That's lovely, PJ. That's very nice. Braxton Payne is alongside. I'm John Hancock. We found out the name of the movie we were talking about was The Lost City.
I almost forgot it again.
So today is the 78th anniversary of the D-Day invasion on the beaches of Utah and Normandy. And France and the United States and their allies sent 160,000 troops, many of them to their death, thousands of them to their death that day, storming onto the beaches and amphibious landing, the likes of which, the audacity of it, was absolutely unreal. And it turned out to be the turning point of World War II. And one of the commanders of one of the boats that day was 56 years old. He was the oldest soldier to land on the beaches that day, June 6, 1944. He was, by that point, he had the rank of brigadier general. He had retired from the army after World War I, having achieved the rank of colonel. He was highly decorated in World War I and went on to some political service and some other service in the military. He was one of the founders of what today we know as the USO, that takes care of our servicemen and women in so many ways. The big USO that we have out at Lambert Airport, you're probably familiar with. Well, on this day, he's commanding a boat, and he gets off of the boat on the beach. They're under heavy fire, and all he has with him is his cane and a pistol. It's all he has as he gets off the boat, and he's commanding the men. He's leading them, and all of these troops had assignments that were pre-designed, and they were going to the area they were supposed to seize, the high ground they were supposed to take, And they were going along, and this fellow with his cane was waving his cane in the air and directing his troops. He soon realized that the path that they were to have taken that day wasn't the best route for them. Once he got on the land, he could see that. And so, taking the bull by the horns, he redirects his men in a completely different area, and they successfully seized the ground they had. The folks that served with him said he was incredibly calm in battle. He was such an inspiration, being in his 50s, having fought and seen lots of heavy war fighting in World War I. And he came back and volunteered. He was in business, and he went to a reunion of sorts, a kind of a retraining of sorts in 1940. and decided, and this was before Pearl Harbor, so before we got into World War II, but he decided that he was going to re-enlist then in 1940 at the age of 52. And they weren't going to, his commanding officer, the Major General, was not going to allow him to serve on the D-Day invasion. And he obviously didn't walk well. He had a cane. But this gentleman sent a letter saying that his men that he had been commanding now for years trusted him, relied on him, that he would bring a sense of calm to them if he were allowed to lead them. And the Major General relented, and he allowed this man to go. And he did brilliant, heavily decorated after the D-Day invasion. And a really remarkable story of someone that, well, it's a name we're all going to recognize. Theodore Roosevelt, Jr.
Wow.
Brigadier General Theodore Roosevelt, Jr. that day. And he went on and died shortly after the war, before he even came home of a heart attack when they were right at the end of the war. But he knew that the United States had prevailed. And what valiant service he gave to his country. And we remember heroes like Theodore Roosevelt, Jr. on this D-Day 2022.
Yeah, I think it's something that, like, you know, these types of stories, you know, get passed down from generation to generation. And sometimes, you know, they can get, you know, in movies or things like that. But I mean, growing up, you know, in the time of 9/11, I'm hearing a lot of, like, people that I know that, you know, volunteered for service, you know, right after 9/11, served in Afghanistan and then later Iraq. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I think a lot of times it's distant to a lot of us that haven't served. It's very personal to a lot of people that have served. But it's something that, you know, these stories should continue to be passed down and make sure that, you know, nothing in this country is taken, you know, for granted, and our freedom is definitely not free.
You know, and we're so divided as a people now. And it was just 20 years ago. I remember after 9/11. There was very little division in the country.
Most people supported George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah. His popularity went through the roof there for a while. And then, but I remember driving down neighborhood streets, and every home had a flag up, it seemed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was so recently in our past. And then here we are today where it's... people don't even talk to one another.
Yeah. I mean, do you think, though, too, I mean, so 9/11, obviously we had television, we had cable news, you know, we had the 24-hour news networks.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to see what was going on. We were able to see those families with the pictures outside of Ground Zero saying, hey, have you seen this person?
Yeah.
Which was something very emotional for weeks after 9/11. I mean, something that's very vivid in my memory. Everyone remembers where they were.
Yeah.
Do you think that now we've become so desensitized to war and to seeing, you know, even like we see these things that happen in Ukraine or, you know, Syria when they gas children, you know, it's in the news for a couple of weeks and we just don't see that anymore. And we just become so desensitized because we see it all the time.
Well, I mean, I think that's the case with a lot of things. We've spent a lot of time talking gun violence, and there's a desensitization, I'm afraid, that's taking place there. Violence in our streets. You know, three people get shot in St. Louis on a Friday night, and there's...
it's the top hit on the news for half a day.
Yeah, and it'll happen again, and, you know, and so it's just... so there is that. I do think that something as traumatic as 9/11 would, it could anyway, it produce the kind of unity again that we saw then. I mean, God forbid we don't want to live through something like that again. But, and even, you know, a decade before that event, we had the liberation of Kuwait, which was also televised.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time is Live from Baghdad. It was an HBO movie, and it went through the CNN correspondents that were there. And it's just it's not a documentary, but it was just them talking about, it's one of the best movies. It's on actually YouTube now.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you can watch it. And I'll never forget watching that movie for the first time. I was probably 14, 15.
And
I watched that movie, but, like, you know, obviously they used live footage of Kuwait and in those hospitals, they were trying to, you know, prop them up and say nothing was happening here. And it was, you know, pretty dramatic. and going through that. And, you know, even like then, it's like these CNN reporters. Now CNN is a dirty word to a lot of people. You know, Fox News is a dirty word to a lot of people. But those were real journalists that were in hiding in bathtubs from the Iraqi army trying to just report what was going on when the U.S. bombed Baghdad.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, liberating Kuwait, which that took place before we went into Iraq. But in liberating Kuwait, the Iraqis had these what they called their Republican Guards, yes. Their elite troops.
Saw that.
And the U.S. military just rolled them over in like a day and a half. It was incredible. We took no casualties in that thing. And I think Russia expected the same kind of thing in
Agreed.
Ukraine. That didn't work out. And I'm afraid that conflict's going to be going on for a long time. Well, we wanted to remember D-Day and wanted to tell that story. When we come back, it's going to be our weekly visit with Shawn Michael Lyle. That's next on KMOX.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025, and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.